I've been around a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true. You do have a cockroach effect.
And get rid of them.
Donovan McNabb is with us today.
CJ Fair joins us.
We are joined to open the show by Josh Black.
Just overall competition, right? That's exactly what we needed for this team.
1-10 is not something you really want to use as fuel.
If Steve got in a fight, I'd come to his defense because he's my bro.
If you were on the ropes, I would have stepped in. You didn't need my help.
Hands off. Tucker feels his way in around his own man, and he scores untouched. It's a touchdown for Sean Tucker.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte and Pauly Sebelia.
Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us alongside Pauly Sebelia. I'm Stephen Fonte. We welcome you to a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. We've got two guests lined up for you. Coming up at 12:30, our good friend Daniel Tome.
He is a good friend of yours. A mutual friend.
I'm starting to get to know him, but he's a good friend of yours. He'll join us at 12:30. And then coming up at 1 o'clock, Liberty play-by-play man Alan York, as he helps get us set for Syracuse Liberty tomorrow night inside the dome. And outside of that, we'll take your phone calls at any time, 315-437-7644. How are you today, Pauly?
I think I'm in a good mood. We've got some business to break down later with our producer, Jordan, who made our golf bets, and it's gone awry, I believe.
Yeah, so explain to everybody so they can live the suspense in the buildup with us.
Well, we don't know yet what he did, but he did not bet our money the way we asked him to.
Right.
So we will find out how he bet our money. I have a feeling I'm not going to be happy with the young Jordan, but we'll find out.
All right, we'll all find out together what happened when Jordan, young Jordan, went to Del Lago yesterday.
If you want something done, you have to do it yourself, is the old saying, I believe, and I think this is going to make that a true statement.
All right, we'll hear from Jordan later on in the show, but we start things off by hearing from Dino Babers, and with the game on Friday. Everything got moved up a day. So the Dino Babers show, instead of it airing Thursday night, it was held last night at Heritage Hill. And Dino, I think this is the comment that made the most headlines last night regarding the injuries. Here's Dino on that.
You know, we're banged up. I mean, Albany was banging. They were really out there hitting. And, you know, I wouldn't sit here and tell you, I wouldn't be telling you the truth to tell you we're going to be at full strength. We're not going to be at full strength. We're going to be missing some cats that you guys are going to be like, oh, wow. And then, you know, we may have some guys back that you guys may say, oh, wow. But it's going to balance. It's going to be some scales. There's going to be some surprises on both sides.
So you and I were talking about this before the show, and you said, I didn't take it as bad news. That's the part that caused me to pause, was when he said, we're going to be missing some cats that make you think, oh, wow. I took that as somebody we're not expecting, right? And you said, you know, who could it be? We were debating, who could it be? Taj Harris obviously didn't play last week, but I don't know if Taj didn't play Friday, I don't know as if I would say to myself, oh, wow, because he just missed a game. You know, Luke Benson had to leave the game early, and he was on crutches.
That wouldn't be an oh, wow
That wouldn't be an oh, wow either. Chris Elmore wouldn't be an oh wow. We didn't expect him to play. You know, we've heard reports he's out for several weeks for an undisclosed reason. So that caused me to pause a little bit. And I know you took it as, it'll all
but
work out,
but now that
Steve.
I think about it, there was a player that missed a few plays due to an injury early on in the game. And I did not even think of that till just then.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's who it is. That would be a real oh wow.
That would be a real oh wow. And said player, number 13, did his weekly. Well, he came back, and I was going to say he did his weekly, you know, media availability this week. And, you know, generally speaking, if a quarterback is out, they won't have them talk to the media. So that leads me to believe it's not Tommy.
Okay, not that big of a wow factor.
Again, we're kind of
speculating.
We're debating this on the air. Courtney Jackson missed some time at the end of the game. He was injured on a punt return, did not come back. I don't know if Courtney Jackson has the wow factor, but
Tucker?
I mean, that would be an oh wow, certainly. But we have no reason to believe that he was banged up.
I think we're reading too much into this. I think he just likes to throw things out
there.
He's a firm believer that the opposing coaches listen to his show.
Right. I hope that's all it is.
It was a bluff.
If Garrett Williams doesn't play, that's not an oh wow, because he didn't play last week either. So I don't know what could be an oh wow.
But he said it would be an oh wow on the other side too. Like,
right.
Oh wow. He's like, is it, if Taj is back, is that an oh wow that
maybe that's
back?
What he was referring to. I don't know who else they're waiting on. I mean, Garrett Williams has been out and Taj, and we've been led to believe that both are close to returning. I mean, we were led to believe last week that Taj would be back this week. Garrett, he's been kind of close to the vest on. I wouldn't be surprised either way, to be honest with you, with Garrett Williams. If he's still out, I'm not surprised. If he comes back, I'm not surprised. Dakota Davis, we know, has been close to getting back to full speed.
Yeah, I bet you that's one of the oh-wows. I bet you he's back.
Well, listen, they need all the help they can get, right? I mean, this we've discussed it. This is going to be a difficult game for them. And hopefully the oh-wow who's sitting out is somebody we already know about, and it's not just completely, like you mentioned, Sean Tucker. That would be extremely unfortunate if it's him. We have no reason to believe that it's him, but I wonder who would fall under that category.
I do think it's just putting it out there.
Because he wants Hugh Freeze to pause, like we're pausing?
Yes. Like
huh.
He wants the opponent to think that there's a wow factor coming.
Okay.
We'll find out on Friday night.
That's right.
Tomorrow night.
We're, 32 hours away from kick?
I was told there'd be no math.
Well, you didn't have to do the math. I did the math for you. 8 plus 24, 32. Speaking of injuries, Dino also discussed Garrett Williams last night. We asked him about Garrett last week. He has been kind of close to the vest on this one. Here's what Dino said about Garrett Williams last night.
Garrett's here for two more years.
Yeah,
you need
great.
To settle down.
Great.
Right?
I'm all for it. I'll make his bet if that's what he wants.
Yeah, Matt had mentioned that he may be able to go to the NFL.
I see. Okay. So when I saw lose Garrett, I thought it was regarding injury. It was regarding whether or not he was going to go pro. I see. Well, we know Garrett Williams has been out of action. They have a chance, and we've discussed this, that they have a chance to have the two best cornerbacks in the league with Garrett Williams on one side, Deuce Chestnut on the other. Obviously, they got to stay healthy, but, you know, we saw last year that they had three defensive backs, you know, find their way to the NFL. Unfortunately, if he just went down, we didn't talk about that yesterday. He gets his first career start against the Packers and unfortunately injures his thigh. And Lions head coach Dan Campbell says he's going to be out for a while. Suffered a significant injury, according to Dan Campbell, in his first career start. But yet, if he, you had Cisco, you Trill Williams, and now you've got like this next crop of defensive back coming up through. And again, I don't think it's overstating it to say you have a chance to have the two best cornerbacks in the ACC and have him, you have a chance to have him here for a couple of years.
Right. He also, Dino also said last night on his show that he's told Deuce just that they're going to come after you.
Sure, of course.
You know, in the Albany did, and he goes, you're still the freshman.
Right.
They're going to come after you. So be ready for it, especially if the other guys are all healthy, you're going to still be the young kid to get attacked in this situation.
That's right. There's no doubt about that. We played a soundbite regarding Garrett Williams and his future in the NFL. Dino Babers also discussed the NFL future of one Aaron Service, who's been moved back to center. And he's switched positions throughout his career. He's shown a lot of versatility on the offensive line. And Dino says that's only going to help him at the next level.
Aaron is a multidimensional player, and we have to have flexibility in the line at certain positions to make sure that we're going to always have our best five out there, always hoping that our best five is good enough. There's going to be a ton of NFL scouts at this game. I just looked at the lineup, and they have to send me which scouts are coming, and it is one of the longest lists I've ever seen for the Dome. And one of the things about Aaron Service is that even though he plays tackle for us, the NFL is really excited about him playing center. And, whether he gets drafted or whether he gets a free agent opportunity, his flexibility on the offensive line is going to be the thing that is going to be the most valuable to the NFL. One of the things we're doing here at Syracuse is making sure that all of our offensive linemen build in a lot of flexibility where it may look bad to everyone around here, from a financial standpoint, it may be the goose that lays the golden egg for them when they leave.
Yeah, services played center here, and I think a lot of NFL scouts see that maybe his future at the next level is playing center. He's played multiple positions on the line. He's done it well.
That was an interesting take to me. Do you, as an SU football fan, yes, these kids are here to get to the next level. But isn't Dino Babers as a guy like here to win and moving guys around just so that they're better in the NFL? Did you think that was weird?
Yeah, I don't know if he's moving guys around, if that's the priority. His priority is to win. And I think with Aaron Service, he's had to move him around out of necessity because of other injuries.
Is that what he said there? It felt like he said, we're making them available to the NFL.
Right. It's good for the program when guys develop here and then go on to the pros. I don't think that's at the top of the list in terms of his priorities.
Yeah, I would just say coming off a 1-10 season, you play the guy where he's best.
Right.
Just worry about the Quincy Guerrier.
Where he's best for your team.
Yes.
You know, and his future may be at the center position, but for your team,
yeah.
You know, maybe that's not right. So I think it kind of goes hand in hand. Like you obviously want to develop players so that you win, and while you're developing the players, of course, you want to make them as versatile and flexible as possible. It's great if they develop, and again, theoretically, they're getting better and they put themselves in a position to go to the NFL. I don't think that's the number one goal, though. The number one goal is to win games.
I mean,
you got to develop players. You know, in order to win games, you got to develop your players.
Yes,
and that's a byproduct of it.
Yeah, I found that weird. I would after a 1-10 season not be worried as much about. Although they are basically his kids, and he wants them.
Of course,
the best,
you want them to do well.
But
I think it all goes hand in hand. I don't think you have to pick one over the other. I think you want to win games. You play the guy where he's at his best. And inevitably, especially when depth isn't your strength, you're going to have to play your best players at different positions. And that's what we've seen out of Aaron Service, who started whatever. I mean, he started, what, 51 games in a row? It's a record at Syracuse, 51 career games.
Yeah, I just find it, like, when I think of players wanting to do, like, I think of Quincy going to Oregon because he wants to shoot three. Like, yeah, we're not doing that here.
Right.
That's not how we play basketball here.
Right. I think they kind of go hand in hand. You want to win games. You want your best players out there. And they may have to play different positions at times in order to get them out there. And that's what we've seen out of Aaron Service over the course of his career. All right, let's go to the phone lines at 315-437-7644. Pat in Syracuse kicking us off on the show today. Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I keep going back to that Rutgers game. I mean, Syracuse did what they had to do against Albany, which is win the game and win it convincingly and win it in good fashion. But that Rutgers game, man, we talked about it. It was very important, and it's a very tough loss for us. It's so, like, now it puts a lot of pressure on that Liberty game when you could have gone into this 3-0. Now you're going in there, you know, down one. So this is a, like, as close to as a must win as you got to win, because after Liberty, it doesn't get any easier in terms of the ACC slate. Every game is going to be a grind. Every ACC team recruits either as good as you do or better. The only two games I can think of there, you know, Syracuse has a really good shot in the ACC this year is the Wake Forest and the Pitt game. Other than that, I mean, everything else is going to be like you're going to steal one if you can't win against a Liberty, and even those two aren't guaranteed because Wake has had some success against Syracuse. Syracuse had a success against Wake as well, but and Pitt's had really good success against Syracuse as well in the past couple of years. So it's like every game from here on out, it's going to be a dogfight. Syracuse is going to have to really, really pull some stuff this year. I think they have the talent wise to do it, but they can't go 2-0 against ACC teams. Tommy's got to do something he hasn't done lately, and he's going to have to get us a bucket when we need it because he hasn't been good under pressure when we needed him to be. And this is going to be a chance for him to show that he's really made that step forward, or he's still the same guy that we remember, in which case then maybe you look at maybe putting Jacoby Morgan or Justin Lampson in, you know, the two guys that I think Jacoby looked great last year from what I saw of him, and then, you know, maybe explore Justin Lampson, because you've seen what you see with Tommy, and then you saw what you saw with Garrett, and I got to be honest, I wasn't really impressed with Garrett. He looked very uncomfortable when he threw the ball, so that's what I have for things.
All right, appreciate you checking in, Pat. I'll say this. If Jacobian Morgan or Justin Lampson take a meaningful snap this year, Syracuse is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I think they want to redshirt him.
Yeah.
So
I think they've got two quarterbacks that they feel comfortable with. You're right, Pat, that Garrett looked uncomfortable throwing the football, and that's why, you know, Paulie and I said really after the Rutgers game, I felt like the competition was over to some degree. And then after Albany, it kind of solidified it to me. He was overshooting receivers against Rutgers, underthrowing receivers against Albany. He doesn't throw accurately down the field. And I know a lot of people are frustrated with Tommy, but Tommy does have the ability, you know, for all his faults, he does have the ability to stretch the field. Garrett doesn't really have the ability to do that. At least we haven't seen that yet. But I think they feel comfortable with him as the backup and Tommy the starter. If you're dipping down into Morgan or Lampson, Paulie, I think you're in some trouble.
Yeah, second of all, I think we're all sleeping on Wake. Wake Forest,
I was just gonna
Wake,
say,
Wake
nobody's,
Forest isn't the,
Wake's, Wake's not getting
Wake's
any love.
Wake's not going to be the worst team in this league. Yeah. You know, Florida State's worse than Wake.
Right? Oh my God, yes.
So
not even close. Wake Forest is beating by three touchdowns.
Yeah, Wake Forest might be the second best team in.
I'm not willing.
Yeah,
yeah. I was going to say I'm not willing to go there yet, but you might be right in terms of the Atlantic Division.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, right? Liberty might be the second best team on SU's schedule. Wake, I think, is certainly up there.
Yes.
You know, at least to this point. All right, we got plenty more to get to as it comes to SU football. We got to take a timeout, though. Phone lines remain open. 315-437-7644. Back after this on ESPN Radio.
Across Central New York. To apply and learn more, head over to sosbones.com.
Truck crash? Call William Mattar, the largest motor vehicle accident firm in the state. We'd be honored to help. South State Street, Syracuse. Hurt in a car? Call William Mattar. 444-4444.
Watch your favorite ESPN Syracuse sports talk shows on QSportsTalk.com. This is Orange Nation.
Stephen Pauly back with you here on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. We continue to get you set for Syracuse Liberty tomorrow night inside the Kerry Dome. It's interesting, we were talking about all the NFL scouts that are going to be on hand in the last segment. Dino said it's a long list. I actually heard Malik Willis's media availability yesterday with Liberty. He was asked about all the NFL scouts and if he felt like, you know, this was a really important game for him and his future because it's a Power 5 opponent. And did he feel like, given all the NFL scouts are going to be in attendance tomorrow, that he had to, you know, show them what he could do and perform at his best? He had a really interesting answer. He said, I try not to think about it. That wasn't the interesting part. He said, I try not to think about it because I might play bad. It kind of struck me that, you know, a guy who might be the first quarterback taken last year is worried about playing bad.
Well, yeah, if you get in your own head, you don't want to get in your own head. You got to have a clear mind going into what you're good at.
I expected him to say, I try not to think about it. I'm focused on winning the game and, you know, what's best for my team and my teammates. And, you know, that'll take care of itself. But it was funny how he followed it up with, I don't want to play bad. It surprised me. But again, he's just being real because you're right. You don't want to overthink it.
And it goes to what you said about service. If he plays good, the team plays good.
Right. And it's a byproduct. Like happens individually in the next level, it's a byproduct of what you do, obviously, on the field. Speaking of Malik Willis, Dino has had high of course he's got high praise for him, but here's Dino on Liberty's star quarterback.
He's a very, very exciting player. He's a quarterback that a lot of people think may be the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft this year. And I'm not trying to butter that up. That's just how it is. And he has made that program. He is the Lamar Jackson of that program, and he's put him on the map because of the things that he can do behind the center.
So I know some have heard the comparison to Lamar and say, you know, pump the brakes there, Dino. I don't think he was comparing him to Lamar Jackson, the player, necessarily. No. I think he meant Lamar Jackson, the impact he's having on the program. Like, he is making Liberty football a thing. Like, if they beat Syracuse tomorrow night, they're going to be in the top 25
next
year.
He's the Eric Dungy of their program.
Right. Yeah. But Syracuse already had a tradition that was good at one time. You know, Louisville football came on the map because of a lot of money pumped into the program and Lamar Jackson, right? And if Liberty football becomes a thing moving forward, I mean, they're a thing right now, but if there's some legs to this program, you're going to look back and it's going to be because of Malik Willis. So I think that was the point he was trying to make is that, you know, I don't think he's comparing him to he's as good as Lamar Jackson. I think he was trying to say that his impact on the particular program that he plays for is, you know, as big or could be as big as what Lamar Jackson did for Louisville.
Right. I agree.
All right.
We agreed on something for once.
We did. Moving on. More sound from Dino last night. He was asked about Sean Tucker.
Why can't I find anything on my computer? It'd
be cut four.
Well, he really kind of was a breakout game for him. And now we got to see, my hat goes off to Sean. He works so hard. He's so humble. Everybody, you know, you got to love that guy. But I'm always pushing him to be better. And I'm always making sure I'm like, now you can't settle. So now that you've done it to one level, you got to come up and do it to the level. And when he starts doing that, that'll be something. And I really believe he'll get it done.
Amen.
I think the kid's special, and I know everybody points to, you know, he's only done it against two Power 5 opponents. I know one of the Power 5 opponents was Notre Dame, and Notre Dame had a pretty good defense. So I do think he is capable, and he passes the eye test, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
He looks special. He looks different. You know, I go back to, you know, the other day we were discussing, he's the best running back this program has had since when, and the first name that popped into my head was DeLon Carter, who also had a breakout performance of scoring. He either scored four or five. Was it five touchdowns? That overtime game that he had? It was either four or five. I remember the soundbite afterwards. It's what in the world was that?
It was me just opening a box score to the Syracuse Notre Dame game.
I see.
I was trying to see when Tucker picked up the yardage in that game. Because Cooper Lutz went over 100 yards that game also.
Yeah, they did a nice job on the ground that game. I just lost my train of thought. We were talking about DeLon Carter. I remember the soundbite DeLon Carter after that game. You know, somebody asked him about, did you know you were going to have this big performance? He said something along the lines of, I was hungry, so I had to eat. That was all he said. But in any event, I think Sean Tucker might be the best running back since DeLon Carter here. And Carter went on and played in the NFL. I think the kid's special. He certainly passes the eye test.
He does. I'm not ready to jump on that bandwagon yet. You got to earn it. Got to earn it, Steve.
I'm not talking 44. I'm saying
But you got to earn to be compared to an NFL running back.
Okay. Okay.
He's been great in games where they didn't necessarily play high competition, and Coach Babers just said that. You gotta do it against the big boys now.
All right, 315-437-7644 is the number if you'd like to get involved with the show. I'm quickly trying to find whether it was four or five touchdowns that Carter had in that overtime win. I want to say it was four. In any event, we'll have to find it during the break. We've got Wildcat Pub. We got some free pizza.
Nice.
Joining us here in the studio on the other side. Daniel Tome will join us. We're back after this on ESPN Radio.
ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com. This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sebelia back with you here on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation. Our good friend, Pauly's good friend, Dan. I'm still getting to know him, but he's Pauly's good friend. Dan from Wildcat Pub, set to join us here in a few minutes. He's just about set to arrive, which allows us an opportunity to bring in Jordan. Before we get to Jordan, I looked during the break, DeLon Carter, four touchdowns in that overtime win against Wyoming.
What a game. Who could forget it?
Sean Tucker, by the way, is when you look
overtime
at...
Overtime against Wyoming.
When you look at... Well, that was the Greg Robinson era.
Speaking
Pauly.
Of which, UConn's 30-point dogs to Wyoming
I
this
saw
weekend.
That. They are bad. Like, they can't... They legit can't score. They are bad. In any event, what I was going to say was Sean Tucker, third most rushing yards by a freshman all time in this program... Behind Joe Morris and DeLon Carter, two pretty good running backs. So, again, I'm with you. I know he's got to continue to prove it. All I'm saying is, based on what I've seen so far, I think this kid's going to be the next great running back in this program.
I saw Joe Morris play. He was
dot,
pretty
dot,
good.
Dot, dot, dot. Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say he's no Joe Morris.
Yeah, I was going to.
He's a good friend. That's what I thought was coming.
Jordan's with us now. Jordan, all right. So, we got to lay this out for all of our listeners. Last show, yesterday at the very end of the show, we decided on the spot that we were going to make a wager regarding the Ryder Cup.
We did indeed.
So we came up with, we each threw $20 in the pot and picked one player who was going to have the most points in the Ryder Cup. And then Paulie's idea was, let's throw another 10 from everybody on them tying, the U.S. Correct. And Europe tying, because the odds, it was good value, as you guys like to say.
Yes.
So then we get a text last night. So pick it up from there, Jordan. So explain to us what happened when you went to Del Lago to make said bets.
Well, so I drove to Del Lago with my casino trip correspondent, Eric Robinson. There's a shout out. And we got there. And you go to the automatic kiosks because, of course, I'm far too ashamed to go speak to somebody about placing a bet on a tie at the Ryder Cup. And unfortunately, the only lines they had, it's a DraftKings sports book, was based on the final outcome of the event. So you could only bet on winning margin, each team to win, and then the tie.
Okay.
No player props.
Okay, so when that happens, what goes through your brain?
So my thought was, I texted you guys, we're at the booth, didn't get a response. I knew
Stop. What did you text us?
That the player props were not available. Looks like we're going for the tie.
No, I never got that text message.
Okay, read it then. Read it aloud.
I never got that text message.
I'm all about using life for content.
So the text that we got says, Del Lago only has lines for winning team and winning margin for Ryder Cup. So tie it is.
Yeah.
That's
so
all you said.
You did not ask us.
So I thought that the bet had already been made. So then I respond. So you put all of our money on that question mark?
Like, so would you not, would instead of a text message, when you're using other people's money, would not maybe a phone call come into mind and say, hey, it's not here. Let's get this straight, what I'm going to do with your money?
Steve, were you on the news at this point? Would I have been able to call you?
It was like 9-something.
Dude, you're making excuses already. They're terrible.
I was in between shows. I was definitely reachable, and I responded to your text pretty much right away.
So did you not want me to place the bet?
You've got to ask before you place the bet.
So I gave you $30. Did I want all $30 on that? No. I would have said
it doesn't
no
matter
that.
What it is. He shouldn't have made a bet
right
without calling us and asking us if we wanted to make the bet. So you had $90 between the three of us. What did you put it
so
on?
So we're curious.
This is for you.
Well done.
No. Hold on. Tell us what the bet
I'm
is.
I'm going
to before you.
And I'm going to give you $20 as well.
No,
I'm telling everyone
what the bet is. Let's see what
okay.
it is.
Because it is. I bet $10 a piece on the tie at the Ryder Cup. And I'm giving you your money back. And I won $50 on slots, so it benefited me as well.
Well done. So he made the right decision, even though he didn't go about it the right way. Couple things here, just for
if I had told you, this would have been no fun.
So I know, but now it's so anticlimactic.
So this is a
you don't
experience.
Know how to do good radio, kid.
I think
I am so mad you didn't bet all of our money on the tie right now.
Well,
I'm so disappointed you did the right thing.
If it makes you feel better, I'll keep your money and not give yours back.
Oh, yeah, why did you lead me on this? I wanted you so badly to have bet all of our money on the tie.
Let me ask you guys this. From what you two know about me, from working closely with me for, almost 8 months now? Do you think I would have bet all of your money on the tie?
Yes, I do. I think you're that...
Say it. It's good content.
Dumb. I think you're that dumb.
I was 50-50. I really didn't know what to expect because I know that you like to make money and you can't make money if you don't bet some money.
But the other thing is, what if we wanted us to put all of the money on that? You've got to call and ask us what to do with the money.
So learning experience, Jordan, two things here. Number one, I do remember Paulie saying yesterday, call first before you drive
there.
Yeah,
because I didn't want you. Yes, I said on the air.
He said that on the air. And you did not do that, so it's one strike against you. And then in the future, I'm with Paulie. When you're handling someone else's finances and it doesn't go the way that you expected it to go, then maybe you make that phone call and you say, hey,
what do
you want me to do?
I did.
We're breaking up. We're breaking up. Someone more important than me coming in.
How much can we win if we hit.
You are betting 30 to win 360 plus your money back. So if we win, we will each get $120. But even better than $120 is this delicious Wildcat pizza sitting right in front of me. They can't hear you. They can't hear you.
Hang on. Don't leave yet.
Let's come on, Dan. Help me out, please. I'm begging for an out right now, Dan.
So we win $120 each?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
And all just because I messed it up, if you that badly want something to happen with other bets, let me know.
No, it's funny because I did on the air say, you know, they may not have these bets available. Why don't you call before you go out there?
Yeah. Where did you go?
Del Lago.
Okay. Yeah, so you want to deflect to me, don't you? You want to talk about me now, or you want to get off this gambling situation, this betting situation?
Really badly, actually. There's delicious.
Dude, I was sitting in the other room watching you on the Twitch, and you were squirming, man. You were nervous. You were turning red, and you had them all worked up.
I'm a professional pest. It makes sense that I would squirm. That's all I'm saying. I am a sponsored pest. So,
yeah, it is funny that now if we win, we're going to be mad at you
for not betting
all of our money.
Jordan, I'm not mad at you. You did the right thing. You just kind of went about it the wrong way. I think you accidentally did the right thing.
You know what? I won $50. You know what we call that where I'm from?
Value. Good
Say
value.
Say it with me. Good value. That's
great. Do you notice
value.
He didn't give
where
me my
from?
Money?
He didn't. I was wondering that, actually.
I'm from here. I went
you're
to Fayetteville Manlius. Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm giving you your money, Paul. You Venmo'd me because you're a cool guy who's with the times.
See?
So I'm going to give it to you digitally.
It's the benefit of not Venmoing. I get the cold, hard cash back.
Cash is king. Venmo is convenient.
So now is this? I feel like this is almost like found money. Unless Jordan Spieth has the most points this week,
yes. Now we're going to be really
angry. Someone finally brought you back money, Steve. You should love me right now.
So now I'm going to be rooting against Jordan Spieth because now I'm going to be kicking myself.
Dude, you should reinvest that though.
Yeah,
you should reinvest that into it, parlay it, and win big.
There you go.
I love it, Dan. I love it. Dan's my type of guy.
You guys are bad influences on me.
There's too much degeneracy in one room in terms of the gambling front.
All right, Jordan, get out of here.
I will. Am I coming back?
I don't know.
Do your read really quick.
We're going to kick yourself out just in case.
Well, pizza's here. Bugs love pizza, so I'm going to go out and grab that. But when I leave, it's brought to you by bugsbegone.biz. That's bugsbegone with two E's, just like the bug and just like I do to Steve and Paulie every day on Orange Nation. Thank you for the pizza, Dan.
Of course. You are very welcome, man. Enjoy it.
So we are joined now by Dan from Wildcat Pub. How are things?
Things are good. How are things with you two?
Good. Can we do a thing to get you on screen here and make you jump over to mic three really quick? That was awesome. I'm glad he did the right thing. I just wish he had spoken to us.
He left the ticket unattended. So
Dan could have stolen it.
I know. It's not like it's a lottery ticket. It's only $120 each, but we'll take it.
How are things at the Wildcat? We've gotten three consecutive weeks of
picks. We had a dude come in on Monday that was an avid listener. He told me he was from Westvale, and I had a nice long talk with him. Greatest guy in the world, likes the show, been listening for a while. I think his name was Alex. I told him to give him a shout out, but I could have the name wrong.
No, that's good.
I think it was Alex from Westvale. So it's good. You guys. What was your guesstimate last week?
We said Albany was going to get smashed, and they did.
That's just broad statement.
Yeah,
that's what we said. Syracuse would cover.
I said 45-10. I was a little bit off on the score, but it was essentially what we predicted.
Steve and I are already disagreeing on how the Liberty game
is
going to go.
Yeah, I'm going with Paulie. Is adamant about this. So I was adamant last week about the Albany game. He thinks Cuse is winning. So
I actually would agree with Paulie.
Yeah.
And I think they are too. And I think they're.
I'm not saying they can't win. Paulie thinks like mark it down.
It's a statement game.
What's it at right now?
Six, I saw.
Yeah.
Six?
He's a 6-point dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a big win too for the program, right? It'd be a big win.
This is an important game. I mean, we've discussed this. I mean, I feel like this game could send Syracuse in one of two directions. You know, you're either 3-1, and then you've got a down ACC to go up against the rest of the year with Florida State next week, and Florida State's in shambles, or you lose the game, and, you know, there is a chance you wouldn't be favored the rest of the way. You might be favored here and there, but, I mean, they're not going to be favored to get to 6 wins, I tell you that, if they lose this one. So I do think this game in some ways holds the key to the rest of the season.
I still got him at 7 wins.
Yeah.
I stand by that.
You stand
by it.
Okay.
I think you were not here, Steve. I think Mario was here. I think it was 7 wins. Right? I stand by it. I mean, they're up to 2. So we got 5 to go.
This is a big. If they're going to get the 7, they got to get this one.
Yeah. And if there's a year you're going to get 7 wins in the ACC, this is the year
might
to do
be.
It.
Might be. Yeah.
So.
Might be.
It's not as far fetched now as it was when you said it.
Yeah, you all thought I was nuts.
Yeah,
right.
I still
Paulie rolled his eyes. He threw me out. It was bad. But seven wins, man.
Anything big going on for the game Friday night, specials wise?
No, it'll be interesting. We haven't had a these Saturday games are a little rough. The noon start times. I'm sure you see it.
Yeah, when you get better and when you win seven.
When
games,
you win seven games, then you get bodies, right? So I think the Friday night game will be well attended. I think. I don't know what was the draw at the Dome for the Albany game. What was the head count?
I don't know what they announced. You know what they announced?
No,
I know
I saw some pictures.
Rutgers it wasn't pretty. Rutgers was 31. I want to say. I mean, Albany. It wasn't even half full.
We actually had more people enjoying the game at our place for the Albany game than we did the Rutgers game.
Is that right?
Yeah, which is a little odd. But Friday night, man, Friday night, 8 o'clock kickoff. I think it is an 8 o'clock kickoff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great time. That's good for the industry. That's good for restaurants in this town. I think a lot of them are going to be busy.
Is that generally speaking, you would get a big crowd at like 6, like before the game as people are heading up there, or a big crowd during the game, or both?
I think it's going to be both. I mean, we won't really get an after the game. The game ends at, what, about 11:30?
Right, 11:30,
so
yeah.
We won't get much of that, but that's okay. Yeah, I think it'll be busy. And we don't have live music this Friday because of the game.
Right.
So they announced, we're putting all my ducks in that basket.
They announced 30,156 after announcing 31 for Rutgers. That wasn't butts in seats, though.
I saw pictures. I don't know. I'm not good at
Dan
that.
Dan sold 40,000 pizzas that night, too.
We have $40,000. At $50 a pizza.
Dan, let me ask you one more quick question about attendance at your place.
Go.
When it's a game as big as, say, a Syracuse-Duke basketball game at home or a Clemson game at home in football where they're going to sell out, does that affect your size of crowd or does it get, you know?
I think it all depends on Syracuse's record. I think, you know, Syracuse basketball does well. I think the restaurants in this town do well. I think Syracuse football does poorly, transversely. I think the restaurants, you know, people check out of the season by mid-October. You guys know, by mid-October, people are checked out. So, when's Clemson? Mid-October?
15th.
Yeah, couple
and
weeks,
that's a Friday night game, too, I think.
Yes, yep.
So that might be the telltale. We've had, you know, 2 years ago when they went on that had that great season, I think we drew through the whole season. But this year, I don't know. We'll see.
I know you're running this great promotion, with us about where you pick the game. And, if we get it right, free pizza, dining only from 4 to 7. Mm-hmm. Did you expect that we would be 3-0? And do we want? I mean, are you rooting against us actively week in and week out?
I should be rooting against you, but I'm really not. And so the way it was spun to me was your the salesperson that calls on my account for you guys came in and said, you know, we used to do this, and the selling point was, well, they're not very good at making predictions. So when you sell me, well, the odds are against them and for me, then okay, but. Yeah, it's cool. The people I met, a handful of people, the nicest people in the world.
That's great.
Very respectful, very friendly. That's what you want.
They get that from me.
They get that from you?
Yeah, for being nice and respectful.
I was going to say,
that emanates from me.
I like that our listeners are nice. I like that.
Well, I mean, I've met a very small sample size, but the ones I've met have been very nice and very kind and everything else.
See, the difference is I haven't gone through a football season with this guy as my co-host. He's the reason we're 3-0.
Yeah. Well, he finally got some brains on this show.
He knows how to gamble. He knows how to gamble.
We got brains and looks now, finally.
Yeah. Brains and looks. That's what, look at your fire.
The dangerous combination. Dangerous combination. I heard that you may have brought us a free sample today.
Yeah, I did. It's actually sitting on the floor over there. It's cheese, obviously, and then it's sausage and roni, pepperoni.
Nice.
So I thought Jordan was going to take it out with him, and they were going to scarf it out in the
bullpen.
Well,
right now, they're not allowed to get it till the talent gets their pieces first.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good because it would be gone.
You guys are the talent.
Yeah.
I like that.
We are higher on the food chain. We get
so
our,
it's talent
literally.
And then everybody else.
Yes, yes.
I
what's above
so.
Talent?
The owner and management.
And advertisers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you.
Yeah.
You are far more important than
yeah, no, we're looking forward to digging into that.
I hope you guys enjoy it. It was made by, I got to give a shout out to Johnny. Johnny came in with me once or twice.
Yeah, sure.
He wanted you, Paulie, to know that he made it for you.
No, oh, thanks.
Will you share with me, Paulie?
Yeah, it's a PMS,
I just need one slice. That's all.
Pepperoni mushroom sausage?
No, it's no just pepperoni sausage. No mushrooms. No shrooms.
No mushrooms. No fungus on this one.
No fungus.
All right, listen, Dan, we appreciate you coming in. Anything else?
As always.
Any parting shot?
No, I just appreciate the time and. You know, I love coming in here, and I think you guys are great. And You know, that's it.
We have nice
stop
listeners.
By Wildcat. Stop by Wildcat.
Well, we love having you. We're going with Syracuse this week. Are you on board with that pick?
I have to be to get the 7 wins.
Yeah,
I mean, I got to stand by that 7 wins until they. It's mathematically impossible.
All right. So if we are right, we're just going to lock into the pick now. I know normally we do it Friday. You're convinced that they're winning this game. I'll go with you, Paulie. So we'll take Syracuse. They can still lose by 5 points and we still win this. So again, if we win, if we're right. Go into Wildcat Pub on Monday between 4 and 7, dine in only, and pizza's on Dan, right?
Get yourself a free cheese pizza.
That's right. Okay. And with that, we'll take our final time out here in hour number one. We'll wrap up the first hour right after this on ESPN Radio.